Hooker had been ill-served by incompetent subordinates. Slow-moving George Stoneman had failed to sever Lee's railroad supply line in a timely manner. Uh-oh, Howard had been shamefully unprepared for an attack by Jackson. Dilatory John Sedgwick failed to break through Confederate lines at Fredericksburg, despite outnumbering his enemy. But Hooker made serious mistakes of his own, such as giving up the initiative to Lee early in the campaign and retreating when his army still had plenty of fight left. Malicious gossip persisted that he had been drunk during the campaign. Butterfield said he never saw Hooker intoxicated. Sharp, who was with the army commander much of the time, said anyone who claimed the general was inebriated lies in his throat. Lincoln, who visited Hooker's Falmouth headquarters after the Chancellorsville debacle, decided to retain his Potomac Army commander, despite the fact that most of Hooker's corps commanders let the president know directly or through intermediaries that they blamed him for the defeat. Hooker blamed others. He also began sending Lincoln telegrams claiming, with no evidence from Sharp to back it up, that the enemy had outnumbered him. Sharp's bureau, meanwhile, continued cranking out high-quality products. From interrogations of deserters and Richmond refugees, he was able to confirm that Longstreet, with Hood's and Pickett's divisions, had finally joined Lee. Babcock produced leather-bound, 14-page booklets Hooker and his commanders could carry with accurate information on regiments, brigades, and divisions in Lee's Army of Northern Virginia. Sharp also sent Butterfield a topographical study of the 15 fords stretching across the Rappahannock and the 14 fords over the Rapidan, which either side might use in a follow-up attack. It would all be important intelligence the Army of the Potomac would need to deal with Robert E. Lee's next incursion, this time into Pennsylvania.